Welcome to Just a Minute. Thank you. Hello, my name is Nicholas Parsons, and as the minute waltz fades away, once more it's my huge pleasure to welcome our many listeners in this country and throughout the world, but also to welcome to the program four exciting, talented, and extrovert players of this game. It's a great pleasure always to welcome back, sitting on my right, that wonderful, outstanding comedian Paul Merton, and seated beside him we have a young comedian who's making a great name for himself, and it's the first time on his show, so we welcome Alan Cochran. And seated on my left, we have that master of lyrics and musical comedy shows and a dedicated cricket follower, that is Tim Rice. And beside him, we sit another engaging comedy performer, Chris Neal. Would you please welcome all four of them? Seated beside me is Charlotte Davis, who's going to help me with the score, run the stopwatch, and blow a whistle when the 60 seconds have elapsed. And this particular edition of Just a Minute is coming from the delightful Everyman Theatre in the heart of that wonderful Regency town of Cheltenham, a gem in the whole Gloucestershire countryside. And you must realise we have a keen Gloucestershire audience here, ready to cheer us on our way as they welcome us and start the show with Alan. It's Round Robins. Tell us something about Round Robins in this game, starting now.
Obesity is a huge problem in the bird community and is nothing to do with football in any way whatsoever. Many, many animals... Don't repeat many.
No, Paul, you challenge first.
Repetition of many, yes.
Yes, and 51 seconds available now. Round Robins starting now.
Cheltenham Town Football Club's nickname are the Robins, and you couldn't find a worse team if you looked. They were terrible last week. It's awful. Your goalkeeper's just got to be sacked. It's dreadful. They're terrible on crosses, the right backs.
Tim challenge.
Two terribles.
They're awful. Two terrible, absolutely.
I don't think you'll be welcome back in Cheltenham at all. Anyway, correct challenge, Tim. And another point to you. 41 seconds. Round Robins starting now.
Cheltenham Town Football Club is known as the Robins. And what a magnificent side they are. A brilliant team with superb tactics. Great defensive
Paul
skills.
Challenge.
They're rubbish. Deviation. Absolute rubbish.
I think according to you, they're rubbish.
Yeah.
According to Tim, they're magnificent.
Yeah. Ask the audience for the vote, please. Nah.
I think they might be prejudiced. Tim, you have the benefit of the doubt, and 34 seconds on Round Robins starting now.
In particular, their goalkeeper is a man of great distinction and skill.
Paul challenge.
What's his name? This goalkeeper...
Gervais Sinclair.
He knew it. Is that true?
Another benefit of the doubt to you, Tim. Round Robins is with you. 31 seconds starting now.
Gervais
Chris Challenge.
Deviation. I don't believe the goalkeeper.
Nobody repeated Gervais.
Oh, Gervais, yes.
I said Gervais in the answer to a rather rude and aggressive question from Mr. Merton over there.
That's right.
The first time I said Gervais,
it wasn't part of my ramble.
Yeah.
Yes, another benefit of the doubt to you, Tim, and 30 seconds on Round Robins starting now.
I don't know if any of you ever tried to run round a robin, but it doesn't take very long unless you have the outside track, in which case you might as well zap round an albatross.
Chris Challenge.
Is it two rounds?
Yes, round.
Yeah, but round's on the car.
Round is on the car.
Oh, is it?
Yes, round robins. You can repeat the subject or words on the subject. So another point to you, Tim, and 19 seconds round robins starting now.
Albatross,
I can't imagine what your challenge is.
Repetition of albatross.
Albatross, yes. 19 seconds for you, Chris, on Round Robins starting now.
Apparently, Cheltenham has a football club. I think they probably are not terribly good, not amazingly bad.
Hesitation?
There was a hesitation. Yeah. You didn't know whether this side with Tim or sitting beside him or go with you, Paul. 13 seconds, Round Robins with you, Paul, starting now.
Every Christmas we go Round Robins because he throws by best parties you've ever come across. They are wonderful.
Chris Challenge.
Throws by best parties.
Yes.
Yes. I don't think that's English as we really understand it.
No, I was thinking of our World Service audience. Yes.
The audience enjoyed your remark, Paul, so you get a bonus point for the humour that you evoked there. But Chris had a correct challenge, and he has 7 seconds on Round Robins, Chris, starting now.
At Christmas time, many people these days send very long, dull letters enclosed in their Christmas after Christmas fire.
No. Paul Challenge.
Repetition of Christmas.
Yeah, Christmas, yes. Yeah. And Christmas, 1 second. Round robins with you, Paul, starting now.
Come on, the robin!
So Paul Merton was then speaking as the whistle went. With other points in the round, he's moved forward. He's one ahead of Tim Rice, who's one ahead of Chris Neal, who's one ahead of Alan Cochrane in that order. And Chris, will you take the next round? The subject is all-day breakfast. Tell us something about that subject in this game, starting now.
All-day breakfast is a rather nasty idea, I think. It's night...
Alan Challenge.
Deviation. I think it's a great idea. Mm.
I know, but he can have his opinion, you see, Alan.
Oh, OK.
All right. So it wasn't a challenge when the rules are just a minute, really.
I've just got peckish.
So, Chris, another point to you. All-day breakfast. And how many seconds? 52 seconds, starting now.
52 seconds on the subject of all-day breakfast. Hurrah, I've got a lot to say. It's a meal that works very well until about 11 o'clock in the morning. After that, you don't want it at all. But before then, sausages, bacon, possibly kidneys, eggs, scrambled...
Alan Challenge.
Who has kidneys in an all-day breakfast?
No, that's what I'm saying. You have them for breakfast before 11...
I would say that that's deviation from the all-day breakfast as we know it.
I know the audience would love you to come in on it, but if you're going to have breakfast, you have kidneys. I mean, have your really super breakfast. What do you mean I have kidneys for breakfast? When I go to a hotel, I always ask for kidneys.
Do you ever get them?
No. All right, Alan, the audience feel you should have the benefit of the doubt. You tried three times to get in on this subject. So 39 seconds, all-day breakfast.
Sorry, what did I do wrong?
You
nothing much.
Kidneys.
It's something to do with kidneys and the audience...
Look, I like kidneys for... You what?
You don't have kidneys in a transport cap.
Oh, it's not about bloody transport caps, is it?
I think you should keep your private life to yourself. I really don't know.
The subject's not transport caps, it's all-day breakfast, and I like kidneys any time of day I have breakfast. Thank you.
Paul gets a bonus point for his remarks, which the audience loved. Alan gets a bonus point because he's tried so hard and the audience wanted him to have it. But Chris, to be fair within the rules of just a minute, you can have kidneys for breakfast. So you have the subject and keep going on all-day breakfast, and there are 39 seconds starting now.
I serve kidneys for breakfast all day and all
and
night.
Team challenged.
Repeat of kidneys.
Oh, kidneys.
It's an impossible game. 39 seconds for you, Tim, on all-day breakfast, starting now.
And in this repulsive establishment, I said to the waiter, I would like eggs, one hard...
Chris Challenge.
Hesitation.
There was a little hesitation there.
I was moving from indirect to direct speech. I felt, in the absence of punctuation, I wanted to just... You know,
well, can I ask, Tim, how many millions do you have in the bank? Is this point really important?
Chris, you have another point. You have all-day breakfast, and there are 31 seconds starting now.
When I don't cook that aforementioned piece of offal, I might do liver. I love it. All-day breakfast, delicious. Other offers, well, brain. Oh, I've said offal.
Tim Challenge.
Repetition, which he admitted.
Yeah, no.
Offal. Right. Awful. Tim, you got in again. Another
bloody
point
awful.
To you. 25 seconds, all-day breakfast, starting now.
I said to this rough-neck git who was posing as a server in this transport...
Paul, you came in
hesitation.
First. Yes, indeed, and no wonder. Oh. No wonder. Another point. 19 seconds, all-day breakfast, Paul, starting now.
The all-day breakfast comes into your own when... Well, it comes into your own.
Tim Challenge.
Comes into your own.
Yes, confusion, your repetition, own, yes. Deviation, you name it. Mainly repetition.
Only have one. Which one do you want?
I'll have repetition.
You can have it. 16 seconds, Tim. All-day breakfast starting now.
At the Ritz, you can get a fabulous all-day breakfast served by a gentleman in a bow tie.
Paul Challenge.
They stop serving at midday. At the Ritz.
Not in your suite. Not in your private suite.
Really?
Yes.
Oh, no, of course.
You can take it from me, Mr. Merton.
You... Oh, you haven't run any veins with that, you...
No, to be fair, Tim did work there as a cleaner, didn't he? He knows, he does know. He's been in the kitchens, he knows.
Yeah, I'm sure that in the Ritz, if you wanted breakfast all day, they would serve it to you. 11 seconds, Tim, all-day breakfast, starting now.
They're again at the Savoy, so I've been told by a friend, because I haven't actually been there myself and certainly would never stay the night somewhere when I can just go to my own bed.
And Paul Charles.
There's a slight hesitation there.
Yes, there was. I admit it, I was crumbling.
Well, you were deviating onto the Savoy and everything, but you hadn't got to the breakfast. Paul, you've got him with 2 seconds on all-day breakfast starting now.
Bacon, black pudding, scrambled eggs, chips if you must.
So Paul, speaking as the whistle went, has moved forward. He's 2 ahead of Tim Rice, who's 1 ahead of Chris Neal, who's 3 or 4 ahead of Alan Cochrane in that order. And Paul, we'd like you to take the next round. The subject now is the director's cut. Tell us something about that subject in this game, starting now.
I once made a film and the director was half cut. It was terrible. Nothing really matched at all. Everything was out of focus, blurry images. But of course the director's cut refers to something that you get now when you buy films on DV. Well, you know the format.
Oh, there's an ace player of the game. Tim, you were hoisted.
Just testing my belt.
Oh, right. So, well done, Tim. But well played, Paul. 48 seconds still with you on the director's cut, starting now.
When I listen to these audio commentaries that you buy now, they are fascinating if you hear the director say, well, the shot I was after here never quite worked, but there's one film that stars Michael Caine when he goes back to Newcastle to avenge the death of his brother, Get Carter, and the director's comments.
Alan Challenge.
No, it was a mistake. I thought
it was
a
hesitation, actually.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's exactly what I was getting you for. Gotcha.
So well listened, Alan, and you've got in a really sharp challenge. 30 seconds for you on the director's cut, starting now.
The director's cut of Just a Minute is a real listen. You should hear it. It's wonderful. There's...
Chris Challenge.
Deviation, it's really not.
What is your challenge within the rules of Just a Minute?
Deviation, it's not wonderful, listen.
But isn't the director's cut the show that goes out?
I don't know what we're talking about.
All-day breakfasts.
All-day breakfasts. You've still got the subject, you've got the director's cut, 24 seconds, starting now.
The director's cut of kidneys is the best bit of meat in any all-day breakfast. I love having... food with...
Chris Challenge.
Sorry, there isn't a director's cut of kidneys in an all-day breakfast.
Who's
that doesn't
say?
Make any sense.
What's to say?
Well, it was an independent film in the early 60s called Kidneys. It was a massive hit.
I mean, the director could be having...
He's in a series of films called The All-Day Breakfast.
The director could be having an all-day breakfast and he cut his kidney.
Is that what you meant, Alan?
That's what I was getting to. Before I was so rudely interrupted.
Right. So you have the benefit of the doubt, Alan, and you have 18 seconds on the director's cut, starting now.
The director's cut is a way of selling a film that has already been in the cinema. I have seen the director's cut of Blade Runner, which I do not understand. I have seen the...
Chris, you've gone in first, Chris, yes.
Repetition of RSC.
I have seen, yes, yeah. Right. So, Chris, you've gone in this time with a correct challenge. And 6 seconds on the director's cut, starting now.
The director's cut of Just a Minute really isn't fun. What you catch is Clement Freud backstage cracking jokes.
Tim, challenge.
Repetition of Just a Minute?
Why?
That's what Alan said. I didn't say it.
Sorry, I drifted off.
No, Alan said Just a Minute. Right. You've still got the subject. Chris, only 1 second to go. The director's cut, starting now.
It's always the best bits.
So Chris Neal was then speaking as the whistle went, gained the extra point and others in the round. He's moved forward. He's equal with Paul Merton in the lead, and they're closely followed by Tim Rice and then Alan Cochrane. And Chris, now it's your turn to begin. The subject is The Last Laugh. Tell us something about that subject in this game, starting now.
The last laugh of the dying hyena is one of the most beautiful sounds in nature. He gathers his family around him to witness the last laugh he will make.
Is there a doctor in the house? Hesitation.
Oh, yes, hesitation, almost a full stop. Are you all right, Chris?
Yeah, I thought I was doing that quite upbeat.
But that's upbeat. I don't know what the death is like. Right. 49 seconds with you, Paul, on The Last Laugh, starting now.
The Last Laugh is a film that was made in Germany in 1927, part of the silent era, and it starred...
Tim Challenge.
No, it wasn't called The Last Laugh.
What was it called?
Oh, something like Die Last... Die Last Gechuckelhaben or something.
And when the film came over here, it came over here as The Last Laugh. So the benefit of the doubt to you, Paul. And you have another point, of course. 44 seconds, the last laugh, starting now.
It became quite famous because it didn't use any title cards at all. Everything was expressed in mime or emotion or just a look in somebody's face. Emil Jannings, who I've mentioned twice now, so it's technically repetition.
Tim Charles.
Repetition of that distinguished chap.
Yeah.
Anyway, right, Emil Jennings, right. Yeah. And there are 34 seconds, Tim, the last laugh starting now.
The last laugh is very important. If you have the first laugh, you may well not end up in a superior position. What you need to do is to bid a man, or woman, or child, or dog, that...
Chris Challenge.
I love oars. Or man,
yes,
or woman.
Man, or
dead
dog,
right,
yes.
Dead right, well spotted.
We let one oar go, but too many oars, yes. We don't want too many oars in this show.
I'd let one go, Tim, but I can't. It'd just be... I'd be a fool to myself and to this audience. I'd be letting them down.
Now, Chris, the last laugh is with you. 23 seconds starting now.
I haven't seen the film that Paul was talking about, The Last Laugh from Germany in the
1920s. Tim Challenge.
Repetition of the...
Oh, no, no. Oh, Tim, come on.
Well, the subject is The Last Laugh, and you can say the words on the card.
These on the card. 20 seconds still for you, Chris, on The Last Laugh, starting now.
The last laugh is an important one to get. You're absolutely right. I'm never going to get. I can't. Oh, I can say.
Hesitation?
I think so, yes, definitely. Right, Paul, you're back with you, and you have 14 seconds. The last laugh, starting now.
In a situation where you're comparing, perhaps at a gig, it's important that you're seen as the compare to be able to introduce the act, but also to be able to be able, three ables.
Yes, Tim Challenge.
Was able.
There's too much ables, yes, right. And, Tim, you've got in with 4 seconds on The Last Laugh, starting now.
Come with me now to the plains of Africa, where hyenas...
Paul Challenge.
I've got plans. I can't just go to the South Plains of Africa. I need more warning than that. Come with me now. I thought this gig was in Cheltenham, not the Plains of Africa.
Oh, yes.
What's my challenge? Spontaneous travel arrangements.
Paul, we love the interruption. Well, you get a bonus point for that. But Tim was interrupted incorrectly, so he gets another point. And the last laugh is with you, Tim, starting now.
When these animals of the jungle cackle, it's a ghastly noise.
So, at the end of that round, Tim Rice was speaking as the whistle went, gained that extra point. Chris is one behind. Paul is in the lead. Alan's catching them up, and it's Alan's turn to begin. The subject is, and it's a good one for you, Alan, down the back of my sofa. Can you... I'm sure you have some interesting information to impart on that subject. 60 seconds starting now.
Down the back of my sofa is an enormous magnet that draws all the household clutter that ever exists. In the back of my sofa there is a pair of socks, a magnet...
Hey, yes, it's hard, this game, isn't it?
It is hard. And the idea of doing lists is actually tougher than people think.
Yeah.
Because you do err often in between. So Paul got in on the err, 48 seconds. Down the back of my sofa, Paul, starting now.
Down the back of my sofa are many extraordinary things. I've got an original Nicholas Parsons from the 19th century. And if you buff it up, it looks as good as gold. I think that's one of the medals that are in it.
Chris Challenge.
Deviation will be from the 18th.
Mine is a worthless reproduction.
And the audience clapped when he said that. And I came out at the beginning before the show and said how lovely you all were. How beautiful, how a joy it was to be back in Cheltenham.
They're a keen judge of human nature.
So, Chris, I'll show you how generous I am. They enjoyed your interruption.
Thank you.
And your rudeness to the chairman. Get a bonus point
you
for
come
it.
Come here.
Oh. The audience...
I've never kissed a man before. Certainly not one as old as that.
Well, surely that's deviation, isn't it?
Well, Chris Neal gets a point for his rudeness to the chairman because they enjoyed it. Alan gets a point because they enjoyed his challenge.
Why not get one for kissing you?
I can't give you too many, darling.
No, all I can see is Mrs. Parsons is out there and she's thinking, oh, thank God, a night off.
That's her laughing now.
Oh, dear, she's hiding under the seat, actually. Alan gets one because they enjoyed his comment. But Paul was the one who was speaking and interrupted, so you keep the subject, Paul, and you have 37 seconds starting now.
I took it to the Antiques Roadshow, and they examined it for me, and they said, do you know what this is worth? They said, puck all. And that's really, really disappointing, because I decided...
Alan Challenge.
Two reallys. Really, yes. Really disappointing.
Yes, really. Yeah. So, well, listen, Alan, you're getting the idea of the game now. Mm. Right.
Point for patronisation.
So, Alan, you have a correct challenge. You have 30 seconds on Down the Back of My Sofa, starting now.
Down the Back of My Sofa is a gold doubloon in the hand of a dead pirate. I've no idea how that got there, but it's right...
And Paul Challenge.
It's probably the magnet drew it in.
No. That's exactly what it is.
That's how it got there.
So, Paul, a point to you, because they enjoyed what you said, but Alan was interrupted, so he gets a point, and he keeps Down the Back of My Sofa, 24 seconds starting now.
I got a time machine next week that is down the back of my sofa. I really enjoy travelling around. I...
Tim Challenge.
Hesitation.
There was a hesitation, yeah. Yes. Down the back of my sofa, Tim is with you, with 16 seconds available, starting now.
My Uncle Arthur went missing for several months in June, July and August 1956, and a search party was sent out all round our enormous estate. In the end, as we sat back after an unsuccessful day's searching, we wondered where... There was a movement underneath the sofa, and it was Uncle Arthur...
So Tim Rice kept going to the whistle wind, and I have to tell the listeners, he did keep going under incredible provocation, because Chris Neal, sitting beside him, was trying to stare him out and disturb him. But he's now equal in second place with Chris Neal. They're 2 points behind our leader, Paul Merton, and catching them up fast is Alan Cochran. Paul, it's your turn to begin. The subject is January Sale. It's upon us now, so talk about it if you can, starting now.
Well, the January sales traditionally come after December. I've always found that a good way of going about my business. I've never been one of those people who's been able to think further ahead and think, I could get lots of Christmas presents now when they're very cheap in the January sales and then hand them out in an effort of largesse.
Tim Challenge.
I think he just sort of gradually slipped into hesitation and confusion.
I don't think he hesitated. He would keep going. He hardly drew breath. I mean...
Well, there was a long word which sounded to me like he was...
No. Benefit of the doubt to Paul. He didn't hesitate. 46 seconds. January sale, Paul, starting now.
Some people queue up outside Harrods.
Chris Challenge.
Repetition of people.
Yes, there were other people before. So, Chris, you've got 44 seconds. January sales, starting now.
The January sales used to be quite an exciting event that only took place in January. Now they run all year long.
Tim Challenge.
He ground to a halt.
He did. He made his point.
I just wanted to make his point. Statement, and that was it.
That's right. Made his point. Waited for the laugh. Didn't come. So he paused.
No, it is. He's coming up the hill. It was late. That was it. That was the laugh.
Was it?
It sounded like your laugh, Nicholas, but it was actually Chris's from 30 seconds
ago.
Oh.
So I only get them second-hand, do I? Right.
You haven't got your own laugh since 1968.
Oh.
No, that's not true. That's not true.
Paul.
Not true.
You're worse than usual this time. Well, I don't know why.
No, that's not true.
Tim, a correct challenge. January sale. With you, how many left seconds? 38 seconds, starting now.
It's all very well rushing to the January sales, but the trouble is everybody else in every town and every...
Alan Challenge.
There's quite a few everys.
There were indeed, Alan. Well, so well listened, everys. And you've got in with 31 seconds on January sale, starting now.
In the January sale, I like to buy bargains because I was brought up by my mum who said, don't get anything unless it's heavily discounted. We're poor. We're on free school meals. Get anything that you want, but make sure it's reduced.
Tim Challenge.
Two anythings.
There were two anythings, I'm afraid, yes. So 18 seconds, January sale, starting with you, Tim, starting now.
When I was a child, we were so stinking rich, my mother said, for goodness sake, don't buy anything in January because you'll just get all the tat they've left and couldn't get rid of in December. It's crap, it's junk, don't go near it. It's very important that you buy in June, July, August, September, October or November when prices are...
Paul Towns.
Did your mum really say it's crap?
Yes. It warped my childhood.
So are you prepared for the British public to think that your mother used words like crap to gain a point in this game?
Well, it's a tough call, Paul, but yes.
Do I believe that his mother said crap? I don't know. I'll give you the benefit of the doubt. And maybe she did slip up and she'd had a couple of drinks or something. And benefit of the doubt, Tim, and 1 second starting now.
As for my dad, what...
Right. So, Tim Rice was then speaking as the whistle went. In the next point, he's crept up on our leader, Paul Merton. He's just two ahead of Chris Neal, who's a few ahead of Alan Cochrane. They're in that order as we go into the final round. Oh, Chris, here's something for you to go on. Stuff and nonsense. So talk about stuff and nonsense, 60 seconds starting now.
Stuff and Nonsense is Cheltenham's premier gay night spot. It opens at 11 a.m. for an all-day breakfast and doesn't close until dawn. The fun to be had there is astonishing. There are transvestites the like of which...
Hesitation. Yeah, there was a hesitation, yes. So he said transvestite and hesitated. And... 46 seconds for you on Stuff and Nonsense, Paul, starting now.
Well, Stuff and Nonsense is, by many ways, the ingredients of comedy, if you look at it really. Stuff is stuff that you do. Nonsense is nonsense, where you take some situation and perhaps find some surreal angle on it or exaggerate for comic effect. If you look at the history of the comedy writing, you can see that something like, for example, Charlie Chaplin in the early 1920s, his films were full of stuff and nonsense, but people were flocking to go and see them. He was one of the most popular people in the entire world. It seems impossible to think of it now that even in China, India, Nairobi, everywhere, he was a universally known figure. Stuff and Nonsense was also a nickname that Laurel and Hardy were given in Norway because their own names, which I've just mentioned before, which I won't say again now, didn't translate that well into the local language, so they were called Stuff and Nonsense, and people, of course, would recognise them from the twin bowler hats.
So, Paul Merton, very experienced player of the game, showed how to play this game in great style and with great panache and kept going for many seconds until the whistle went. Gained that extra point for doing so and increased his lead. So let me give you the final score. Alan Cochrane triumphed in fourth place. One of the most triumphant fourth places I've ever seen, because a lot of points were scored in this particular show. And Chris Neal and Tim Rice both finished equal together in second place. So Alan must have been in third place. I've just worked that one out. So well
I
done,
knew
Alan.
I'd done better.
Yes. out in the lead, a few points ahead of them all, was Paul Merton. So we say, Paul, this week you are our winner. It only remains to say thank you to my four intrepid players of this game, Paul Merton, Tim Rice, Alan Cochrane and Chris Neal. I thank Charlotte Davis, who's helped me keep the score, blown her whistle with great style. We're indebted to Ian Messiter, who created this lovely game. We thank our producer, Talusha Galani, and we're deeply indebted to this lovely audience here at the Everyman Theatre in Cheltenham, who cheered us on our way magnificently. I think they've enjoyed it. We've enjoyed it. From the audience, from me, Nicholas Parsons, and the team, goodbye. Tune in the next time we play Just a Minute.
And Just a Minute returns at the same time next week here on BBC Radio 4.